Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I love getting letters from readers, letters and email and messages on social media telling me how wonderful I am and how smart and how witty and wise. But a lot of the letters come in as basically hate mail. Cass, you suck. Cass, quit. Cass, I can't wait till they fire you. Cass, you're a racist. Cass, Mike Royko is rolling over in his grave. Cass, you're the worst columnist in the world. I read you every day, but I hate your guts. And then there are the thoughtful letters, too. Like this one, they took so much time and effort. I just wanted to read it to you. It comes from Cecilia. How are you? I need a favor. I need to get an iTunes gift card for my niece. It's her birthday, but I can't do this now because I'm currently traveling. Can you get it from any store around you? I'll pay you back as soon as I'm able. Kindly let me know if you can handle this. Thanks. Cecilia. Oh, Cecilia. Cecilia. Yes, I'll send you my credit card information and my date of birth, my passport numbers, and anything else that I can help you with. The check's in the mail. There's a lot to talk about today. There's that new show, Jesus as a Boy Superhero. We've got Mayor Emanuel talking in his soft, tiny voice, begging Chicago not to start screaming and yelling at him. We've got Donald Trump trying to clean up that steaming mess he left in Helsinki. Engagement with Russians is one thing. Leaving a steaming mess right next to Vladimir Putin in front of the whole world is another. Just stop defending him, okay? There's no defense. Engagement with Russia is fine, but equivocation on the international stage that way is just a steaming mess. I'm sitting out here. The grass is cleaned. The boys went over it to pick up Zeus's leavings, which is nice. We're behind the Iron Blue Curtain in the tomato garden today, and this is the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Okay, we're out here in the tomato garden. John Cass, Jeff Carlin. One thing I want to tell you, the podcast is growing. We're doing 2 a week now. People are coming to it. Just don't be the last one to get here. Find us on iTunes. Write us a review. Subscribe. Sit in your car. Listen to us at home, on your deck, wherever you want to do it. Free and no commercials. Okay, so out of England, there's a story that I thought I'd talk about today. Designer babies picking traits for non-medical reasons could be morally permissible, says the United Kingdom's ethics group. Letting parents choose preferred characteristics of offspring to avoid disease or otherwise could be acceptable if it doesn't entrench disadvantages, says Neufeld Council on Bioethics. Now, I don't know who the Neufeld Council on Bioethics is. If I've got a bioethical issue, I talk to my uncle, Leon Cass, from the University of Chicago. Actually, he's not my uncle, but we have the same last name, so I tell people that he's my uncle. The idea is just astounding, isn't it? The Ethics Committee is looking at science, and in its major report on this looming frontier of human gene editing, this Council on Bioethics in England said it did not believe there was an ethical red line in tinkering with the genetic material that will be passed to future generations. So if, you know, you want to take John Cass and tinker with his genetic material and take out all the stupid genes so all my children and progeny and great-great-grandchildren won't have that stupid gene in them, that's okay, according to the Neufeld Council on Bioethics, and it did not draw a distinction between using these techniques to tackle genetic diseases and for enhancing desirable physical or intellectual traits, those so-called designer babies, just as long as it meets strict ethical and regulatory standards. Now, we talked about Helsinki being a steaming mess. Well, that, what I read you from the British paper, is a steaming mess. Intellectually, it's a steaming mess. They're basically saying it's okay to tinker with the human gene and to create designer babies as long as there's an ethics commission that approves it. Now, none of us want to see children suffering. That goes without saying, right? So we don't want children to have diseases. If we could do something to help them, we would. Who wants people to go through pain and suffering? Nobody. But this is different. This is creating a new human being. This is creating the stronger, more athletic, smarter, healthier, quicker, perhaps funnier and prettier human being. But what happens? Who gets to do that? If you have means, if you're the elite, you get to do that. So Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama get to do that. And Barack Obama, if they wanted. I mean, these are people who are the elites. They can get what they want. It'll happen for them. And what about the rest of us? The rest of us who aren't elites, what about our children? Oh, they'll be like trogs in a sci-fi movie. You know, the kind of people, they work underground, deep in a mine. They've got short, stunted, stumpy legs and hairy backs, maybe overly large heads, like dwarves. Or like, actually, that's how I've been described physically in some emails. We'll be like dwarves in the mines. And then the tall, long-limbed, smart, blonde people with perfect teeth will be living above us, perhaps in the clouds, like Elysium. These stories have been picked apart by Hollywood in the past as a political metaphor. Elysium was basically a political metaphor for the Bernie Sanders crowd, I guess. And you've seen Gattaca. That's the one with Scarlett Johansson in it? No. She was in The Island with Ewan McGregor. But it was the same idea. Marvels of science, creating perfect humans, elite humans. Now, one correction. Last podcast, I mentioned Scarlett Johansson playing a transgendered man in another movie, and there was a big controversy, and a columnist wrote about it saying, why couldn't she play? She's an actress. Actors play pretend all the time. And the columnist was censored by her colleagues. They took her column away. And I said it was Investor's Business Daily. No, it was Business Insider. So I apologize for that, the correction. This is journalism. When we find a mistake, we correct it. So there you go. Now let's get back to this. The ethics group in England that appraises ethical realities of the new technology called for the government to begin canvassing national opinion and said copies of the report, you know, the report on how good it is to create designer babies, would be sent to ministers and civil servants. The United Kingdom currently doesn't permit any editing of hereditable DNA. In other words, that genetic information contained in an embryo, egg, or sperm that's passed on generation to generation. But just the fact that they would even talk about it is stunning to me. That the human mind could conceive it, because what it'll be sold as, you know, is a way to save children from spina bifida or from some other terrible disease, cancer or something. And they'll sell us pictures on television and in our news sites of little children suffering. And the question will be, can you allow this to happen? This is how it's going to go. And, you know, of course, we're all about feelings now. And in the West, we don't care really about the basis of our culture. We don't think logically. All we care about is our feelings. Feelings are what drive us, especially in journalism and in media, which is all about feelings. It's the easier way to stampede people when you just have them think about feelings and not the basis of their culture or where they're going, just or where they are. Just how they feel about something. You can really put them in the livestock chutes and send them right to that final hook when you get them thinking only about feelings. And so feelings will be sold. Our feelings will be sold. Do you want, John Cass, do you really want a child to suffer? Well, you can do something about it. All you have to do is support this idea about the genetic fiddling with genetic material that can be passed on from generation to generation. And there you have it. What's that called? I hate to, you know, bring up the Nazis because only idiots bring up Nazis in conversation. You know, that there's a theorem that if you drop the Hitler card on somebody, that means you've really lost the argument because you have nothing to say. And this is true. I mean, I've seen it time and time. Just Google Hitler and Trump and your favorite newspaper and see how many times you see some idiot making that comparison. But in this case, it's important. Why? Here's why. What the Nazis lost were their was their morality, their understanding of traditional Judeo-Christian morality. They replaced it with this belief in science, the belief in scientific reason, which allowed them to do almost anything. If all it was science, if there was no right and wrong of things, but science was the ultimate right and reason was the ultimate good, then you could take twin babies and give them to some sadistic doctor and have the doctor use one as a control and the other as an experiment to see how many times a human head could crash against a wall. If it's just science, then it's acceptable. Not in my mind, not in your mind, but you see how it goes when cultures just adopt reason and leave morality behind. And in this case, with the designer babies, we're leaving morality behind. You're creating a different human. You're creating a superhuman. And the rest of us will be ground into their dust. And as a result, the people who do the creating will be like gods. Now, you could get depressed by all that, but let's switch gears for a second and talk about this great new show that's going to be on Netflix. When I first started reading about it, I wondered, am I being played? I mean, you know, just clicking on it, I thought, is Borat going to come around the corner? And am I being played angle here? But it turns out, actually, it's apparently true. Netflix, which I've been watching lately because I've been binge-watching Breaking Bad, has some new shows coming out, and it's called American Jesus. And let me read you the promotional material. American Jesus, about a 12-year-old boy who discovers he's reincarnated as Jesus Christ. He can turn water into wine, make the crippled walk, and perhaps even raise the dead, reads Netflix's description of the show, based on a 2009 comic book series made by a fellow Mark Miller of Miller World. I'm sorry, Mark Miller of Miller World. I don't read comic books. I had to throw them in the garbage when I was in second grade. I was caught reading. It was, I think, The Death of Batman or The Death of Superman. It was rather compelling. My parents caught me reading comic books when I should have been reading. I pretended to read Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, the unabridged, of course, and they convinced me to throw them out. Now, it was a tough thing for a, you know, 8-year-old boy, 9-year-old boy to throw out Batman comic books, Superman comic books. I only had a couple. They were secret. They were like, you know, I hid them as if they were pornographic material. But they found it. And I guess I had, when I threw them out, I was all upset. But you know what? I started reading actual books with words. I know that's radical, but it brings me to this. So I'm not a big comic book guy, but I appreciate the art. I appreciate what they do, and they're very interesting. You know, they are. But this show, the Jesus show, you know, the Jesus show is just, what does it tell us? Well, let's see. It's developed by a company that does comic books, and it's about a boy who discovers that he's Jesus. Here's something about comic books. They operate the superhero, and that's what we do now in this country. We love watching movies about superheroes. Everything's a superhero. Black Panther, Spider-Man, and all sorts of things. Well, they all operate under a certain code. There's a certain way to build a comic book, and they're based on I guess, originally the Odyssey of Homer, in which the hero undergoes certain steps. He must be told as a young man that he has a special calling. Eventually, he dies and is reborn and has to give up, in his quest, he has to give up that which is most precious to him to achieve the actual status of being a hero. It's all quite formalized. It's in Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces. Go ahead, read it. It's just as good as a comic book. What's bothering to me, what bothers me, or maybe amuses me, is that the guy who's Netflix is writing the, Netflix is doing this, and the Mr. Miller, as I mentioned, did the Jesus comic book. He also did other ones. Kick-Ass, Kingsman, Jupiter's Legacy. But the adaptation for American Jesus will focus on a preteen boy who suddenly discovers he can make miracles. What kind of miracles? I don't know. Let's see. Maybe universal income? What other miracles will we do? He'll save the planet from polluters. Maybe he'll send Trump and all conservatives to the bad place. You see where this is going? This is going to be highly political and picture book form on TV. But it also, the Daily Wire points out that it also presents a slew of theological problems. The Gospels illustrate, Daily Wire says, clearly that Christ did not become spirit when he left this earth, but rather ascended into heaven in his resurrected body. So how could he be reincarnated? That's my question. How could he be reincarnated? It doesn't really matter because it's TV. But here's the thing. We invest ourselves in comic book superheroes. That's what we watch now. That's what the movies are all about. And we are intrigued by designer babies. You know, the genetic designer babies I was talking about. And in each case, it's about a fantasy exerting the power of God on the world. So we become our own gods. We create a master race through genetics. We're God. We invest our time and our effort into loving this Jesus show. And people will be binge-watching it and talking about it. And it's going to be bilingual, and I don't know if it's a blonde-haired Jesus or a sort of a Latino Jesus. I don't know. I haven't seen the blue-eyed Jesus or not. I don't know. But either way, it's all about us becoming our own God. Because what is a superhero? A superhero is a nerd boy, nerdy little boy. This is the program, right? All superheroes are like this. I'm a nerdy kid. Can't find a girl. Maybe he has pimples. He wants to have dates with the pretty girl next door who has a little ponytail. Maybe she's a cheerleader and the best student in the school, and she doesn't even look at him. And then one day he gets bit by a spider, and the spider has magical powers. And the next day he's swinging from the tops of the skyscrapers in a cool unitard with a mask on it, or flying through the air, or whatever superpowers he seems to get. It's all the same kid. It's all the same story. It's about becoming God at bottom. It's one thing when it's our fantasy. It's another thing when it's in practice. I wonder sometimes if we're really at the end of our time.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
All the news doesn't have to be depressing, like end of the world, the rapture's coming, I better, go to church before everything falls apart. There's stuff in the papers that I really like. I'll give you one. There's a column by David Haw, who's one of the most reasonable and, I'd say, best sports columnists in the city. Brian Freeze's epitome of Special Olympics Chicago success as it celebrates its 50th anniversary. David writes a column about Brian Freeze on the Northwest Side, 33, a member of the Special Olympics team. And I wanted to salute all the people that are involved with Special Olympics. I know one, my son, Peter. Peter wants to be a special education teacher, a research teacher, and a coach. And he's going to school. I think he'll do student teaching next year. But he's also part of an amazing group. College soccer players, Peter's one, who tried out for the Special Olympics combined team. They've got a great idea. They take special athletes and they take the soccer players and they combine them. And the idea is, and they play all these different teams from France and Germany, Ecuador, Uruguay, teams all over the world, Bangladesh. And the idea is to have Special Olympics athletes working with college athletes, soccer players, on the same team, because they're a team. It's not about winning the game, although I guess to some winning the game is the most important thing, the final score. It's not. Pete says it's about involving the kids and seeing how excited they can be, seeing your teammate look at you across the field, nodding when he gets the ball or doing the right thing with the ball, playing the right position as a team together. And that's, to me, what the Special Olympics is all about. When I was a boy, people who were special were isolated. There was a kid named Kenny, isolated from the rest of us. We didn't know how to treat them, they didn't know how to treat us. Over the past 20 years, with the help of Special Olympics and other groups, we've mainstreamed children into schools, and that helps not only the children who were mainstreamed, but also the kids who should know and be part of a larger community. That they know that they're, you know, they might have a friend with a sibling with Down syndrome, and that child becomes their friend. And they learn about kindness and inclusion and sportsmanship. And so I'd like to salute all the athletes of the Special Olympics Chicago. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to see. Peter says, Dad, it's not about making that great pass. It's about seeing your teammates smile and seeing them part of what you're doing, that we're all together. And we learn things from our kids. I learned that kindness from him. For Jeff Carlin, WGN Radio, man of science, I've got many science questions to ask Jeff, including the planet devouring star and more on the genetically engineered babies. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, Chicago Tribune columnist, neighbor, I hope to be your friend. Just don't ask me for, you know, my credit card information when I go get you the iTunes cards that you demand. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. This has been The Chicago Way.